We turn to the scriptures this morning to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto unto all, or with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love, with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The verses of this chapter to which we call our attention this morning are verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now take note of the fact that that command flows out of the commandment we'll be considering today, the fifth commandment. And that's related to you and me in verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment, of course, being the first commandment of the second table of the law. That, and now it concludes with the same words as the commandment, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, this passage of Scripture and passages such as this is based on the truth of God's Word, as we find it in Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity, that's faithfulness, to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. This morning, as I mentioned, we begin our treatment of the second table of the law. And as we well know, the second table of the law, as well as the first table of the law, requires of you and me love. First table of the law speaks to us of our relationship with God Himself and the requirement that God places upon His people to love Him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment deals with our relationship with our neighbor, all of our neighbors. And we receive the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus plainly points out to us in His summary that the law is there to teach you and me how to love properly. The unbelieving world, you understand, also claims to show love, but the unbelieving world sets up its own standard for showing love for God and the neighbor, a standard that is rooted in its unbelief. The love of the world, therefore, stands opposed to the love that God teaches you and me to exhibit in our lives, because the love of the world, really in essence, because God is not in it all, is unbelief and sin. But every day we are bombarded, aren't we, with the world's concept of love. It actively and aggressively teaches you and me what they believe is love. And of course that means permissiveness. Everything must be permitted. Everything must not be judged according to God's standard, but everything ought to be let go, and we ought therefore to show our love. That's taught you and me by the world. That's taught our children, even in the innocent Disney movies that they like to watch in our homes and on DVDs. Much of the church world of today has fallen snare to the world's concept of love. But we are told that we may not give into that love, but in order to show the right kind of love toward God and toward one another, we need to keep God's commandments. You see, our God, beloved saints, is not only a God of love, but our God is a holy God. Since God is love, and apart from Him there can be no true love, we have to turn to the standard, therefore, that God sets for you and me in order truly to love. And that standard is always one of holiness. God's love is always and ever a holy love, a love that's not marred, a love that's not tainted, even a little bit with sin. The way of true love God sets forth for you and me in His commandments. True love is the way of holiness, not the way of sin. And that's why we delight in God's law, because it shows you and me clearly how we are to love God not only, but now to love our neighbor too. When this true love is exhibited, people of God, then God's covenant is kept and guarded as well. And that's one thing we want to stress, especially now in connection with the keeping of that second table of the law. There's no doubt about it that God's commandments are intended for all men. Unbelieving man and man of every culture and nation of this world is required to stand before God's law and to keep God's commandments. And yet you and I realize that when God establishes His law, He establishes that law with His church. He establishes that law with those who therefore are members of His covenant. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then He gives us the Ten Commandments. These are the commandments of my covenant. In fact, God's commandments were recorded in the book of the covenant in the Old Testament, and the Ten Commandments were placed together with other items in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. That means when we walk in the way of God's commandments, the covenant of God is preserved with us and with the generations to come. But when we violate those commandments, then God cuts us out of the covenant in our generations. The commandments we consider in the second table of the law are given us for our own good. They aren't meant to be restrictive and to take away from you and me our fun and enjoyment in this world. When God gives us these commandments, He does so for our good. They're given in order to preserve you and me and to preserve our children in the faith. And they are given us in order that God might continue to be our friend and the friend of our children in the generations to come. Now, that begins with the commandment that we consider this morning. God comes to children in the church. He comes to children and young people in the covenant that He has established with us. And He says to you, children and young people, honor your father and your mother. We consider this fifth commandment of God's law under the theme, therefore, honoring covenant parents. In the first place, we want to consider these covenant parents. Secondly, honoring them. And then finally, the great reward there is in honoring them. We're going to be addressing, of course, the children and the youth of the church. This commandment does that. Addresses them in particular. We want to take a look, first of all, at how you ought to view your parents, who those parents are in your particular lives. Then, of course, we can consider the whole truth of and the calling of our honoring them, that by rendering them due obedience. But we ought to know, first of all, who our parents are. Parent is not really hard to define. It is a person who has received from God either by means of conception or by means of legal adoption a child or children. Obviously, being a parent means you can be a man or a woman. The moment these receive from God's hands the gift of the child, that automatically makes two people parents. And from this point of view, it's easy, really quite easy, to become a parent. In fact, many have found that in their sin, they have become parents when in reality, they really did not want to become parents. They do not want that to happen because being a parent places upon such parents heavy requirements. You see, when a person becomes a parent, God gives to him or to her specifically and to no one else the full responsibility of that child. And in that responsibility lies not merely caring for that child physically, materially, but really also the spiritual nurture and the moral nurture of that child as well. Not only is it necessary for a parent to make his or her child into one who is healthy, so they have to feed them and clothe them and give them the proper shelter, but it's necessary for a parent to instruct their children, to give them the right atmosphere in their home, to discipline their children, and consciously to set themselves up for or as an example for their children to follow in the home. That's a parent. A parent must always be there for their child or for their children, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So as I said, being a parent carries with it some very heavy responsibilities, and children ought to take note of that when they look at their own parents. God has placed on your mother and on your father heavy responsibilities. Moreover, this commandment implies in the life of a child that there's always more than one parent. It takes two. It takes a man and a woman to conceive a child. We're not saying that at times there cannot be just one parent in a child's life that's called to take on the responsibility of that child. Yet nevertheless, the commandment is clear, isn't it? Honor father and mother. In other words, being a parent normally and usually requires being a parent together with someone else. God may deem it different at times. We know that. But usually, a parent implies parents. There's both a father and a mother who together share, therefore, in the responsibility required of them. All that's implied in this commandment. And most of this goes without saying, although there are many in our society today, and it seems to become more and more popularized, who despise the idea of a husband and a wife together in a marriage, but they like the power of a single parent home and raising their children alone. Yet, we're not really interested, are we, in what the world thinks parenting is all about. We're interested in what Scripture tells you and me concerning our parents, children and young people. What does the Scripture tell us concerning our parents? And we're interested in defining what a parent is in our lives. We are born into Christ's church and God's covenant. And when we look at our parents, everything that we've said so far must be true of them. But when we look at our parents, we are interested in the fact that the parents that God has given us, or the parent that God has given us, is a believing parent. Covenant parent is a believing parent. And that believing parent is one who is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ together with us, their children. In other words, when we look at our parents, or our parent sitting here this morning, then we ought to see in them the fact that they are children of God, to whom God has shown His grace in their lives. That's how we must view our parents, children of the church. They are sinners. But they're sinners who confess that they are saved by grace and only for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing parents are those who have been redeemed from their sin and their guilt through the precious blood of the Lamb. They believe that for themselves, that they are sinners redeemed only in Christ. They are parents in whom Christ works, therefore, by His Spirit. Parents that are guided by that Spirit to walk in friendship and fellowship with God. In other words, they are parents of the covenant. And therefore, they are men and women who themselves cling to the faithful promises of God. that we find salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that God will be with them in their lives and will sustain them. In short, believing parents, parents of the covenant, are those who love God. They love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your parents love God. That sets them apart, you know, from unbelieving parents. Sets them apart. They love God's cause in this world. See your mother sitting there? You see your mothers and fathers sitting there? They love God, and they love God's cause, or Christ's cause, in this world. And they take very, very seriously this particular promise of God to them. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in your generations. In other words, parents of the covenant see their children as a precious heritage of the Lord. Their children aren't just any children. They view you, children, as a heritage of the Lord, a gift from God. Children whom God Himself has given to them but for a short while in this life to raise for Him. And children, therefore, with whom God will carry on His friendship and fellowship in the generation to come as well. Believing parents, therefore, see it as their duty and calling to raise up unto God the next generation of believing children, so that that generation of the church might again take its place in the church, and that it too might bring forth children of the covenant. And for that reason, the spiritual care of their children is of utmost concern to them. Sometimes we might not think that of our mother and father in our everyday nitty-gritty life in this world. They become weary after all too, you know. That's what we ought to see in our parents. To them is given by God the awesome, and I have to admit, because I'm a parent whose children are grown and married now and out of the home, nevertheless, a parent who's gone through it all, it's a somewhat frightening calling to raise children unto the Lord. With the birth of their child, a father and mother of the church stand before the Church of Jesus Christ at the time of baptism. They present the children whom God has given to them before the Lord. And a question is asked of your parents. Children, every one of you, don't remember this because you were but infants in the arms of your mom and dad at the time. But a question is asked of your parents when you were little babies and they had you baptized. And that question was this: do you promise and intend to see this child, when come to years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the doctrines of the Scripture and taught in this church to the utmost of your power? And to that question, they gave the answer, yes, we will do that to the utmost of our power. And that was a solemn vow that they made at that time when you were baptized. What a huge responsibility God places upon the shoulders of our parents who are called to teach you as the children of the church. Baptism isn't merely a quaint, romantic sacrament or ceremony of the church. It's a sacrament. And serious, serious vows were taken at that time. They promised before God and the church that they will, to the utmost of their power and effort, endeavor to see this child and their children grow up in a home where God and His Word rule. Where God's Word is read and studied. Where children have learned the songs of Zion. Aren't you learning those songs, children? How many different songs haven't you learned of Zion already up to this point? Especially the older children and the youth sitting here can sing almost every psalter number that's picked from the pulpit because you've become familiar with them. You were taught those songs of Zion, you see, by parents who love God. So we vow as parents to teach our children in the fear of His name. But now that doesn't mean as parents we save our children or have the ability to save our children. God uses the weak means of parents who take seriously the vows of the covenant that are upon them that they make at the time of baptism to see to it that His children are raised in the fear of His name. He uses them as means in their life because God is a God of means. Always works through means. And that, young people and children of the church, is what sets aside now your parents from the parents of this world. They care for the eternal salvation of your soul. By now, every parent sitting here is examining himself or herself in their own hearts. Wow, did I do a very good job of that in my life? Or am I doing a good job of that in my life? And you know what? Every child sitting here is examining their parents or their parent to see if they have done all of that for them in their lives. Children do that. As a parent, I confess that I have fallen far short of what God has required of me in teaching, in disciplining, in nurturing my children in the fear of His name. I have failed perfectly to obey God's commandment to me. And I've taken those vows 5 different times in my life when my children stood here in the church and were baptized. We raise our children in weakness because we're sinners. But that doesn't give us an excuse either, does it, as parents? God holds parents of the covenant responsible for the vows that they have taken. We are called to put forth every effort to raise our children in the fear of God's name. And we're thankful that God in His grace uses some horribly weak means to fulfill His will in saving our children. But it is true, we will not find a perfect parent among us. Even when we have striven to the utmost of our power, we fail. And we fail because of our own sin. You don't think, children of the church, that your own parents know that? Sometimes we need to be reminded of that as parents, no doubt about it, especially when there are those in pride who think that they're doing the perfect job of raising their children and that they have now set the lines of the standard that everybody else ought to be following. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. And yes, children, if you examine your mother and your father according to the standard of God's holy word, you will find in them weaknesses and even sins. You will find that in them. But then someday you're going to be parents too. And your children are going to find those sins in you. Besides that, catechism is correct. When at the very end it says this, at the end of question and answer 104, it says this, that children must patiently bear with their parents' weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Despite these weaknesses and sins, parents are parents who love God and who believe and who are parents of His church and covenant. And they have in their heart, you don't always see it maybe, but they have it, your parents have it in their heart, the great desire to see their children grow up and love God. And to sit next to them in church, married and having their own children, and then bringing them up in the fear of the Lord too. Nothing more than a parent wants. And not just for our own personal satisfaction either, but because of their genuine love for God and His covenant in this world. Now, those are our parents. And we've taken a good hard look at mom and dad. We've taken a good hard look at mom. And now the fifth commandment comes to us as children. Not just any children. That comes to all children. But it comes to you as children of the church and children of the covenant. This command comes to you, children and youth, and says, honor your parents. No, it doesn't say honor your parents. I'm sorry, it doesn't say that. It says, honor your father and your mother. It might be a little easier for us to honor father because there's just a little bit more fear, it seems, of father in our hearts than there is for mother. But it includes mother. Father and mother. Honor them. Honor both of them. You know what honoring means, children? When it says honor your father and mother, you know what honoring them means? To honor means to show deep respect for and reverence and love for father and mother. It means to take your parents in your lives and to elevate them and give them a position in your life of high esteem, where you look at your mom and your dad, not just loving them, but adoring them. Standing in awe before them. It's to see your parents as your superior, not your equal. Not your equal. That's what it means to honor your father and your mother. And that, quite obviously, has all kinds of different implications for you in your lives. It means that when children speak to their parents, they must treat their parents as the authority that God has established in their lives. Not one, therefore, with whom we can argue, or we question, or we grumble at them, Because they're our parents. And when we do these things, we're not honoring them as our father and mother. It means that any spirit of rebellion against them, any spirit of disobedience for what they tell us to do or tell us not to do, any disrespect in the words that we speak to them, any disrespect even in the tone of our voice toward them is sin. Any thoughts of rebellion and disobedience that may even arise in our hearts that maybe we don't verbalize with our tongues, but it's there, is sin. It's sin. We honor parents with the same honor that we honor God. Well, there's a difference. No doubt about it. There's a difference between parents and God. When God is our Heavenly Father rules over us, He does so perfectly, without weakness, without sin. No doubt about that. Parents make mistakes. We've noticed that. Parents sometimes, even when they tell us something, aren't always all that fair, are they? Maybe they're not all that fair. But that never means that when these times come, that we treat our parents with anything less than respect and honor. Even if our parent, mind you, is wrong, never do we treat them with anything less than honor and respect. You do understand that that's your calling, children of the covenant. That's your calling. There is a way of approaching the parent or parents when they are wrong. Even when those parents perhaps are sinning, there is a way of approaching them. But it's always going to be in humility. Always bowing before them in respect for their authority and honoring them for who they are and what position that God has given them in your life. Always do honor. And that's something that starts in your heart. I'm not addressing unbelieving children, children of the world. God regenerates. How often that's true within the realm of the church where there are believing parents, how often it is true that God regenerates a child, a little child, even before that child is aware of the fact that God has regenerated him, that is, given him now a new life that is in Christ, having taken him from that life of sin. That happens. So that as you grow up in the church, parents in the church don't look at you as a bunch of unbelievers that need to be converted somehow to the faith. We view you as children of the covenant, those with whom God has established His promise. No doubt about it that there are those, of course, in the church that are reprobate and they're unbelievers. But that's not how parents view you. Children of the promise that God has given to them. And they raise you as such with the confidence and with the assurance that the instruction that they give to you will take root in your heart. And that when they instruct you, you will have also the proper attitude toward them. Because you're redeemed. You're saved in the blood of Christ. You are the ones in whom the Lord works a respect and a fear of His name and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ dwells within you. And therefore, the command comes to you and it says, now, children, believing children, honor your mother and your father. Respect them and show that honor to them in the way that you live. Just a reminder to parents, rebellion is bound in the heart of a child, even a redeemed child. It's in our sinful flesh. There are many different sins, of course, that our children can't commit. that must be disciplined and taken care of. But when rebellion is shown, we ought not to be afraid to use the rod. Rebellion is a horrible sin. And another reminder to parents. Rebellion isn't something that just simply shows up in the life of a teenager. Rebellion can be seen in the life of a toddler. And we know very well when that rebellion shows its ugly head in the life of our little children. We ought not to be afraid to use the rod. Because if it's not taken care of when our children are little, it'll be 100 times worse when they're teenagers. This honor of father and mother, children must be rooted in our love for them. We see it in the world, don't we? Where they too speak of a love that children have for their parents. But we see all the rebellion and the disrespect that's shown. You see it in commercials. You see it on TV. The horrible disrespect that is leveled against parents. In fact, parents oftentimes are made out to look like a couple of fools. The children can walk all over the top of them and have a right to walk all over the top of them. You're not loving your parents and you're not loving God when you walk in the ways of this world. The commandment before us is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Your close neighbor is father and mother. And we are called to love them by honoring them, by respecting them in the place God has given them in our lives. We must do that. That's our calling. So God is the one who's going to define for you and me how we shall show our love for mom and dad, not the world. And we cannot truly love God unless we truly love our parents with that love of God. Why? Well, we read this passage here in Ephesians 6, which really almost reiterates this commandment, except that it adds this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is right? All authority belongs to God, and all authority belongs to Jesus Christ, whom God has given His authority. All creatures must bow in deep humility before the living God of heaven and earth and before His Son, who sits enthroned in the heavens. Especially we, as God's people, honor this God because this God is our God, the God of the covenant. Well, that great God shines forth in His majesty and glory. And when He does, He grants certain positions of authority to people in this world. And we're going to consider that again next week, the Lord willing. But one of those positions of authority that God Himself establishes is that of father and mother in the home. They are our authority. They are God's authority in our lives. So that when we disobey or rebel against or dishonor or disrespect our father and mother, in reality, we are disrespecting God and Jesus Christ, who has been set above us in our lives. Believing parents make their children see the beauty of God's rule and friendship. And we as children of God's covenant, therefore, who have been given, we just sang of that, to taste of the blessed fellowship with God by means of our parents, honor that God whom we serve by honoring mom and dad. Rebellion against parents, rebellion against God, and rebellion against Christ. And God punishes that. But God also rewards by His grace those who walk in obedience to this commandment. Having parents, we as children of the covenant bow before them and then hear this promise, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, for the longest time I interpreted that phrase as meaning, well, that your days will be long in heaven. That really is not the meaning of that phrase. Although it's very true, when we obey this commandment, God gives us long life, everlasting life in heaven. I think, however, that this phrase has everything to do with earth and with God's covenant that He establishes with us here and now. When we, as children, honor father and mother, then our days as a church and as a covenant people, a people of the covenant, will be long in the earth. In other words, God will continue to gather His children from one generation to the next generation, in our generations, when we properly as children obey this commandment. Honor father and mother, and then we witness God's faithfulness now in the generations of the church. Because we grow up and we expect that same honor of our children, and then they grow up and they expect the same honor of their children, and so on in our generations. And that's found the great reward of keeping this commandment. Fail to show honor to parents, well, God cuts off such ones in their generations. Honor father and mother, and God continues His covenant in the line of our generations. In other words, children and young people, when you are obedient to this commandment, you will see your children's children and peace upon Israel. Love the neighbor. Do that, first of all, by loving father and mother with a true love. And then we see God's covenant blessings on you. And we pray on your children after you too. Amen. Our Father and our God, we again come into Thy presence, again to give Thee thanks. Thou hast given us a beautiful commandment when heeded, gives us a life of joy in the home, where parents take seriously their calling to instruct and admonish children, and where children in love honor father and mother. It makes for a beautiful and a peaceful home. May that be true of our homes and families. Go with us now in this day. Watch over us as we fellowship together with food and drink. And wilt thou bring us back again at the appointed time tonight, for Jesus' sake. Amen.